It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot about to begin. Remember, cuts, final cuts for the Eagles. They have to get down to 53 by 4 p.m. Do they have to get their they don't have to get their practice squad set by 4 p.m.?
No,
though.
So the final 53.
And that's 16 people, right?
Correct. Yeah, the final 53 are due at 4, and then the players that are cut, at least a large portion of them, will go through waivers. Tomorrow they'll find out the waiver claim, and at that point, I believe they can start to sign practice squad whenever, but a lot of teams do wait to see if you get someone on waivers or whatever.
I think the most interesting thing that you have brought to light during this particular cutdown to the 53-man roster is that it's difficult to get to 53 players the other way. Like normally, you're like, I don't know how we're going to get down to 53 players. This one, it's almost like, how do we get to 53 players with the, you know, Anaya Smith is a surprise, but Darius Cooper has made that a little bit easier. I don't know. It's not a thing that makes me feel, it's not very Eaglesy for it to be that way.
Yeah, they don't have, as of right now, a particularly deep roster. Now, I will say Fred Johnson's a good example of how things can change. Last year when Fred Johnson went in, it was, this guy's, you know, going to struggle. This is bad news for the Eagles. Now everyone's celebrating that they got him back. So some of these guys that we think are bad could end up being good. But right now, looking at the roster, I mean, I was just saying to Ike in the break, most cutdown days, we're all sitting here like, will they keep him? Will they keep him? Who's the big player right now that everybody's hoping they keep? Like Darius Cooper, maybe?
And they're going to keep him,
it seems, right? So they just don't have the bottom of the roster proven talent right now, or even in the preseason games. Like against the Jets, I know everyone says it's just a game, but once their like backups got in, they got smoked in that fourth quarter. So they don't have the depth that they have in past years.
I would say, you know, you brought this up, so it's best discussing it with you. The Kelee Ringo situation, I'd be surprised if they moved on from Kelee.
I would be surprised too, but I do think if Vic Fangio is not going to play him, like if Adoree won the job, if they like Jacorion Bennett, then I do think there is a world where maybe trying to trade Kelee for something now makes sense. But what Kelee has going for him is he's an excellent special teams player. Mm-hmm. So he has value on the roster, even if, you know, Fangio might not be thrilled about putting him in. He still has value. But that would be the big name to watch between now and 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Good depth. He's, what, 3 years? His third year here?
This will be his third,
this is third year, yeah. Second in the system. I'd hate to let that young talent just go just because he didn't win
the starting job. Well, I don't think they'll cut him. It would be maybe someone else on a roster that's going to get cut that you swap players or something like that.
Like they did with our guy, the guy they just brought in from the Raiders, right? Did they swap somebody?
Thomas Booker.
And then the other thing to keep in mind is the Eagles situation, waiver situation, which Elliot has brought up, and that because the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, if you haven't heard, they're 32nd in waiver order, which means somebody gets cut, they're last in the chance to claim that guy, which is why it's so good that they have these extra late round picks.
Correct.
To be able to trade for those.
I mean, they've made a few trades, and I think they still have just as many draft picks in 2026 as they did before all the trades, because they've acquired some picks as well. The other thing I would say in the final hour here before cuts are made, It's not the 53-man roster. It's the best 53 players that they don't want to put on waivers, if that makes sense. So with the practice squad and with cuts coming, like the roster you see at 4 o'clock will not be the roster that is active week one against Dallas. There will be a lot of changes.
It's like when I make my fantasy draft.
Exactly right. Then GM Ike gets going.
I don't draft the defense, and I don't draft the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback makes me nervous.
So, but I'm saying I still have a chance to make all of those moves once we do the wavering.
Right.
During the draft, I'd rather just get all the good players I can get and then decide what I want to do.
See, I'm a QB
smart
guy.
GM.
Yeah, well, I'm a QB guy. That's what we need.
You think they're important to winning?
Yes, I do. Depends on the team.
Yeah.
Definitely on a fantasy team. Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, quarterbacks, quick thing, quarterbacks used to be valued way higher in fantasy than they are now. The fact that they're the first one in our draft was second round, but a lot of times you don't see one go until the third round.
Now, wouldn't Jalen be super valued because he runs for a lot of touchdowns?
Yeah, he's a dual threat.
He is, yes. Yeah. He is one
He's the best dual threat quarterback in the history of the league.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
One of the best resumes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He does.
Did he? Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
So Trey Hendrickson signs for basically a $14 million raise, doesn't get any guaranteed money past this year. They can franchise him after this year. I was I was pretty surprised he caved on that. It was surprising. Ike and I were talking about it yesterday. If all it took was paying the guy $30 million for 1 year, and I keep looking at the Lane Johnson thing, and Lane Johnson saying, well, you know, this might be my last year. When Jason Kelce retired, we had the next guy. Now, we didn't know Cam Jurgens would be as good as he is, but at least there was somebody in waiting. There's nobody in waiting for Lane Johnson's spot. Mm-hmm. So it just makes this year so much more important.
Yeah.
Now, who knows what the Bengals were asking for, but if you had told me a second-round pick or something would have gotten me Trey Hendrickson and paid him. Now, again, we don't know the money situation, but I still think it's weird.
So the report was the Bengals wanted a young player and a high draft pick. So whether that means a second round pick, a first round pick, and then a young player like a Jalix Hunt or a Nolan Smith. And I would have traded Jalix Hunt and a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson. I think Jalix has a ton of upside. Like, I think it's actually complimentary of Jalix to say that
he's worth Trey Hendrickson.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So, and the money is not bad. I mean, 1 year, $30 million, they could certainly get tricky with that, you know, do dummy years, all that. It is cash. Like, it is a lot of cash, but he's one of the top three edge rushers in the NFL. So if they had the opportunity to do it, I would have done it if I were them.
Yeah. I mean, I love Jalix Hunt, but he's not Trey Hendrickson. Well, I mean, that's not even...
I mean, they might not have as many sacks combined.
Yeah, he's not
combined
even combined together.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I even think Trey Hendrickson in this whole...
That's scary to actually think of when you said it.
They might, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the numbers, just look at the numbers. I'm not watching the Bengals every week. But you look at the numbers, I think we've actually underrated Trey Hendrickson in comparison to Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt,
definitely.
Max Crosby. He's got the same amount of sacks as all those
but
guys.
But he's also up there with hurries, pressures. Like, yes. It's not just the sacks. He is one of the best. But he's also 30, which is why I always thought he was not going to get that five-year $150 million.
He's a year older than Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so I agree with that. Myles Garrett, I think, is way better, though.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume so.
Yeah, he's just like a different level. But I would have done it.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go TJ 1, then Myles Garrett.
Right. Yeah, he made that clear this offseason multiple times.
Yeah. You remember when he was looking at the numbers? He goes, wait a minute.
Dude, it was 2 hours later after he talked about it. He's like, hold on, 1 second. Like, you look at the stats.
I had what do you call it? Epiphany?
An epiphany.
Yeah, you got it right.
It's like when I discovered the Raiders should have been in my top 10.
Yeah.
You know, once you bring them up.
Yeah.
New information.
205-592-9494. Jesse in Villanova, you're on WIP. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time, long time.
What's up, Jess?
Hey, I think this Harper debacle is long overdue. I think OG Wade called it a couple months ago. If we're going to treat Harper...
Well, let's not start using OG Wade talking.
Yeah,
see, he can't even spell baseball.
Just use me. I just said it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if we're going to treat Embiid totally different than Harper, then we just don't know if we can trust how Harper's going to play, you know, when it matters. And I think with Wheeler going down, it really comes down to Harper, and he needs to step it up. And can we trust Turner? Can we trust Schwarber? And, you know, it's just at a point where, is he going to play when it matters? Is he going to step up? And it's really concerning how he's putting these colorways together for these other teams. I was looking on his Instagram today, and he's putting these like colorways for the Marlins together with Under Armour colorways for the Nationals.
Oh, that's on his Instagram.
Oh, yeah. 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 Go straight to Instagram.
It's a hard pretend. The rivalry
like
back,
so
I told you.
Yeah, he turned off the comments.
Of course.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Did he turn off the comments on any other post?
Nope, just that one.
Oh, he's not wearing them tonight.
Oh, yeah, he is.
No.
That's the reason you turn off the comments.
So
you
can
wear
them,
so you can wear them without actually having to hear about it.
I think it would be a major... He's been very good.
What's going to happen?
He can become an enemy very quickly.
No, like, are you kidding me?
This team we have seen can fall apart very quick. Like, I know they have a bunch of lead, like a game, whatever, in the division. We've seen that the Mets can end them. Mm-hmm. And if Bryce becomes the face of this collapse and these shoes like become the face of that, it could get ugly quickly for Bryce. Look how quickly it got ugly for Joel.
Well, that's assuming. A lot of that had to do with health more than anything.
But I think it also had to do with losing.
Of course it did.
Yeah,
of course
it did.
But my point is that if he's completely healthy and he's Joel Embiid, and they still lose, he's still giving you 35 a game.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like he's still doing his part.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean he won't be criticized. I'm just saying only if he doesn't show up is where he'll get killed.
So I agree with that. Now, you know,
he goes 3-for-4 and hit a home run and they still lose.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say anything to him.
True, but the past two postseasons have not been good. Like, I don't care what the numbers say. They lost a bad series to the Mets and they had an epic collapse against Arizona. And I think if you're going to wear these cleats and draw attention to yourself, then you got to be better. Like, he's getting carried this season. Schwarber's been better. The pitching staff has been better.
Yeah. By the way,
you could argue Duran since he's got, like,
Trey Turner's been better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trey Turner, but he is one guy. Well, he had the error in the first inning last night.
Yeah.
But Trey Turner's been great this year.
He also had a triple.
Yes, this has been the Trey Turner that we were promised. That is this year.
For as much as Jalen gets criticized for getting carried, right? Bryce is getting carried way more this season than Jalen got carried last season.
Due to injuries, though.
But it's still part of it. Like, he's not been a very impactful player this season, Bryce. Because he's missed time. Well, when he's played, he's only been okay.
His average isn't great. He has over 20 home runs.
Right.
His OPS is great.
Right.
His on-base percentage is great. He's still not, Bryce Harper.
No, he's been
his
good. But Schwarber's
great.
Been way better. You could argue Trey Turner's been
course.
Better. So the point I'm making is, like, if you want to draw attention to yourself.
I haven't even looked. Because I don't even look at WAR. Fritzy!
Oh, he feels like a 3-WAR player.
Is Bryce's WAR higher than Trey Turner's WAR?
No,
Trey's the second highest WAR in the National League.
Yeah,
really?
Trey's like, depending on which WAR
MVP.
I saw Trey with a 4.2.
Now, well, you got to look at F4 versus B4. F4 is 5.8. Just want to point this out.
Yeah.
Ohtani 7.2 on F4.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Why did I even say the word WAR? Why did I even bring that up?
We all cook with our stats.
Yeah. What is Bryce feels like a 3.5 WAR player.
Last time I checked, I thought he was like 2.7, but that was on B-WAR.
Okay.
And for those of you keeping track at home, B-WAR is Baseball Reference WAR. They have a different calculation than F-WAR, which is Fangraphs WAR.
I normally look at Baseball Reference.
Yeah, we're Baseball Reference men on this show.
Yeah, I'm a Baseball Reference guy.
Well, by the way, it's all in reference to the other players anyway. I mean, the number
is... I've only said this to say, Elliot acts as if Bryce has done nothing at all this year.
I'm not saying he's done nothing, but he's not been special.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So that's the point
I agree with that.
Making,
I agree with that. But there's a difference between doing nothing and not being special.
But when you're supposed to be special...
So let me ask you this. Let me say this. I feel dirty. It's too much of this Bryce nonsense going on right now. Who do you think's been carrying the team the last 2 years?
But carrying them to what? They didn't win a playoff series last year. So I
understand that.
Right.
I understand that. When you say he's been carried this year.
I think the pitching staff and Schwarber.
And that's awesome. I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is he's been the face of the franchise for years. He's been the guy who has shielded all these other guys from their poor play. Because all we do is focus on Bryce. And as long as Bryce was doing what he does, we didn't necessarily pay attention to the other guys as much. So it's okay for his teammates to actually carry him for once. Saquon carried the offense last year, right?
Right, but the difference to me is Jalen has to constantly hear about how he's being carried. And Bryce, I mean, has anyone said he's been carried this year? I feel like I haven't heard that at all. So the point I'm
making
is...
When you say Jalen has to constantly hear about...
Yes.
I think that's been more of based on where is he ranked at.
Kind of, but I also think...
This is all centered around why is he not elite? Is he top 10?
Right.
And that's where people start going after Jalen, and they got to justify why they don't have him up that high.
Yeah, I think the entire discussion about Jalen this offseason, to your point, in the rankings has been, is he the reason they're good, or is the rest of the roster the reason they're good, right? And this year, the reason the Phillies have been good is Bryce is one of the reasons, but he is not the reason. He's not a top two reason.
Yeah. I agree.
He's arguably not a top three reason. So if you're going to wear those cleats last night in a big series, in a big game, like, draw attention to yourself. Okay, but then let's talk about how you've been this year.
We're going yard tonight, Fritz.
By the way, I picked him as player of the game last night.
Now, is he going yard in the rivalry pack or just normal Philly stuff?
I really don't think he'll wear them.
I think he is.
Well, turning off the comments.
Well, I don't know how true that is.
Here's what.
All you gotta do is check.
Well, we were, please check on that.
Yeah.
We were talking about, well, who calls him and tells him not to do it? He's not running his Instagram. Somebody's running it for him. Somebody's posting it for him. Whoever's turning off the comments certainly says to somebody, hey, there are a lot of bad comments on here. You know, like, that will get back to him.
I hear you. I'm just saying he's endorsing a product.
Yes. Yeah.
He's being paid to endorse that product.
Yep.
He's going to endorse the product.
I think he would have enough power, though, to say, this is bad for my PR. I'm not wearing these cleats tonight.
He should.
It's bad for his PR. Where? Here?
Well, here, yeah.
Well, this is the only... We're the only ones really ranting about this. I don't think it's been headline...
He had to turn the comments off.
It hasn't been headline news, but this is just us as Philadelphia fans. I'm talking about a national brand who he's trying to project to. If he's getting ripped on ESPN or MLB or something like that, that's different. Well, I don't think he's just going to react to us.
Can I tell you why he's not? He's not good enough. And the truth is that... If Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or any of the top players in baseball had a controversy like this, it would be news, I think. It's like, without us, there's not a lot of...
I don't think this is news.
National... Oh, I think it is.
Team colors?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think it's... I think it's news to us. And we already said earlier, had they won the game, it wouldn't have been an issue.
But they didn't win the game.
I understand that, but my point is that we are reacting to a loss, and that is irritating that he's wearing the colors.
Right.
So had they won the game, we would have ignored that, and it would not have been a big deal.
So I think it would not have been as big of a deal. I still think people would have been annoyed by it, but you're right.
No, but if they won, I think they view it as bold.
No.
No.
Oh, I think so.
You are out of your mind.
I think if they win last night, he goes 3-for-4 with a home run. They're like, he put the target on his back and he delivered, right?
Yeah.
Well, if he goes 3-for-4 with a home run.
And by the way, I'm not saying you're wrong for being annoyed with it.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. No, no,
You're fine for being annoyed with it. I'm just saying it's more the loss has something to do with results.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, and ultimately, whether he's been carried this year or not, which he has to a certain extent, it is why this series was so, I believe, important for him, is that he is healthy. At this point, as far as we know, they are missing Zach Wheeler. And in this stretch, since Zach Wheeler has been down, everybody else has had moments. Not everybody else, but moments.
Most guys in important
situations. Ranger Suarez gets player of the month, basically on the heels of those two starts. Jesus Luzardo, a real good start in there as well. JT Realmuto, two huge home runs. Bryson Stott, huge home run. We do have the two home run Bryce game, but like if we're going to call Juan Soto Juan Solo and we're going to say that Aaron Judge only hits home runs when they don't matter, those two home runs didn't matter. They were up 6-0 and 7-1 whenever he hit the home run. So the reason that I thought this series was so big for him is that Trey Turner said, everybody's got to do their part at some time. It was time for him against this team, in this place, in this situation.
They got two games left.
Yeah,
I agree.
Two games left.
By the way, he can turn it around.
Yeah.
Have two great games here, win both games, go away. This goes away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jack brought up, like, it would never happen with Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and Jimmy, right? I wonder what his teammates thought of it. Like, wearing those colored cleats, going up, you make two bad plays in a loss. I just wonder, like, what they thought
this
of him wearing those colors.
Fluorescent green.
But there's a difference between wearing
fanatic
stuff.
I understand that, Elliot. Relax. I understand that. My point is that he wears different color cleats all year long.
Right.
It's what he does.
But they don't match
the uniform.
But it's very different. This is very
different. because they just lost to the Mets.
No, it's different because it's Mets colors. That's the difference.
So what if I told you, first of all, they got a 7-game lead over the Mets. The Mets stink. So all they got to do is win one of these games and they leave with a 6-game lead over the Mets. How outraged are we about this?
I'm saying, what do you think his teammates think about him wearing Mets
colors? They don't think anything because he's Bryce freaking Harper. And what the hell?
Because he's wearing opposing team's colors. He's making bad plays. That stuff matters. Listen to the callers. Like, people are upset about it. And I wonder if his teammates think poorly of him for doing it.
Oh, well, did he think poorly of them? When they were playing bad?
The difference is they're not wearing Mets colored stuff. Like, it's different to think poorly of your teammate for playing bad. Like, that's different. He's putting the bullseye on his back by wearing
these
cleats.
What do you think is more important, the play or the color that he's
wearing?
I think
the play is more important.
So, okay, then.
But he played poorly in the cleats. That's the point I'm making.
I understand that. Right. We get that. But you ask, what does his teammates think about that? Mm-hmm. That's two different things. As a teammate, I could give a rat's ass about what colors he have on. Right? Now, if he's playing poorly, that's going to stick out to me more than some colors he have on. He's Bryce Harper.
Right.
Nobody's going to care about the colors. Jalen changes cleats every half.
But see, this is where we disagree. You keep saying the colors. I don't think it's just about the colors.
It is the colors. colors.
But it's because they're Mets colors. We're not up here
saying. What colors do you think I'm talking about?
But you keep saying the colors of the cleats. Are you just saying he wears bright cleats all the time? Like, that's different.
He does.
Right, but that is different to me. Do you see what I'm saying?
Why? Because it's the Mets?
Yes, yes.
Or is it because they lost?
It's because he wore Mets-colored cleats in a loss. If he wore purple, like bright purple cleats last night, no one would even bring up the cleats.
But they actually look purple.
I mean, maybe a very dark purple.
Yeah, it looks like a dark purple.
Maybe. Yeah, but they were Mets colors.
They were.
Right, so that's what I'm saying, is that when the color of the cleats, it's not just about being like a flashy dresser.
It's about they lost.
Correct. And they lost in those cleats. And when he's the reason they lost, I wonder what his teammates think
about. Was he the reason they lost?
He was a pretty big part. I mean,
was he more the reason or Christopher Sanchez?
They were tied when he struck out with P2 on base, and then the Mets took the lead after he messed up the Juan Soto play. So he was pretty big. And Christopher Sanchez was a big part, but he's been awesome all year. So
he gets a pass.
He does, because he's been awesome all year, whereas Bryce, who's not been awesome all year, doesn't get a pass.
So he cost them the game last night.
I think he was the number one reason they lost that game.
I think you're full of it.
I believe it. It was tied when he struck out, right?
But I think you're full of it.
I don't think I am.
Well, there we go. 2-1-5-5-9.
I don't think you believe Bryce is the reason they lost the game last night.
Could you put up a Twitter poll? It just says, is Elliott full of it? Okay. All right.
Well, there is some Eagles news quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Nakobe Dean posted, see you guys in week 5. So it looks like he will start the year on PUP.
Okay, all right. We expected that. But him saying, I see you in week 5.
Like, he'll be ready to play week 5.
No, yeah. And he's also reminding them, I know you like Smile Mondon. I know you like, you know, because he could.
Is he going to start when he gets back?
Well, it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
It's not.
If those guys are playing well. Yeah.
Unless they move Jahad to edge.
All right. 2-1-5-5. All right,
yeah, when is that going to happen?
Maybe week 5.
In 2027? All right.
215, if Jalix and Nolan are playing well.
215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.